Paris. I'm up with the sun in a studio apartment that's tiny, even by New York standards. I think it is charming. The bed is in a loft connected to the living area by a black iron spiral staircase. I climb down and tiptoe to the kitchen. In America, I'd make a giant cup of coffee, but I'm in Paris, where filter coffee, as the Europeans call it, would be a sin and a spellbreaker. I pop a little espresso pod into a sleek French machine. I sip my espresso and stare down into the courtyard through a giant wall of windows, each panel of glass the size of a dining room table. The neighbors are chatting over breakfast. This isn't the Paris of tourists. I see gray tile roofs and smokestacks, not the Eiffel Tower. This is the real Paris, and I am an American cliché. An NBC News correspondent dispatched overseas. I'm based in London, but in love with a handsome Frenchman who is still sleeping up in that loft. The curtains are open, but Benoit has an extra set of blinds behind his eyelids. "You're lazy and French," I often say, hoping to get a flirty rise out of him. It always works. "You're American, and you are too much in a rush," he'll volley back in broken syntax. I'm smiling now at the mere thought of his snoozing face, the way he looks in the morning, rumpled and groggy, and the only person who gets to see it is me. We met 6 months ago on Tinder. Yes, Tinder. I logged on while on a weekend trip with a girlfriend. He had a lapel mic in one of his profile pictures. He's on TV. He can't be an axe murderer. Ever since, my free weekends have all been Paris. The Eurostar from London is quicker than the Acela from New York to D.C. I turn on French TV and try to laugh along with Le Petit Journal, France's version of The Daily Show. I understand precisely 3% of the dialogue, but crack up anyway. The squawking television does its work. Benoit is up, looking down at me in disbelief, as if I've stirred him for a 3 a.m. fire drill instead of a 9 a.m. breakfast. "I'm hungry," I say. "Allons au marché," he says. "In English, please," I say. "Mais, Katie, you need to learn," he says. "Pff," I say. "I know, pff. That's enough." The rest of the day is one watercolor painting after another. The farmer's market, fish on ice, bright green lettuce, small red strawberries, eggs for breakfast, a scooter ride to Parc Montsouris. We collapse on a grassy patch, no blankets, no plans, an entire country with a ban on email after work. On the way home, we stop at a cafe for cheese and bread and a bottle of rosé. Benoit's friends, Anaïs and François, join us for another bottle, this time along the banks of the Canal Saint-Martin. Whatever you think of when you think of French beauty, Anaïs is it. François is in love with her, and I am in love with all of this. Katie hasn't even looked up once at me. The words boom through a microphone. Huh? I'm in New Hampshire, just over a month later, and it's raining. 20 feet across from me, on the other side of a backyard pool, Donald Trump is interrupting his own speech to scold me. How does he even know my name? LOL, Trump keeps yelling at me, I text Benoit. On July 11th, Benoit and I are supposed to be in Sicily together. The rooms have been paid for, and so have the flights. Our first real vacation, 2 full weeks together. We'll swim in the Mediterranean, climb Mount Etna, and see opera in the ruins of an ancient Greek theater. And eat pasta. A lot of pasta. Part of me is already there. The rest of me is right here in Bedford, New Hampshire. Katie Turr, fearless foreign correspondent and lady who drinks wine at lunch, is, for the moment anyway, Katie Turr, U.S. campaign correspondent who, for no apparent reason, is getting called to attention by a reality TV show host turned presidential hopeful. I came back to America because of a boy named Aaron, a severely ill teen who asked to shadow me for a day through the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Honored, I threw a few dresses into my carry-on and got on a plane. I didn't even bother to take my laundry out of the dryer. I left milk in the fridge. I'd be back in a week, I figured, wrongly.